everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, the Associate Site Editor for SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here today with Kevin Beaver, Independent Information Security Consultant with Principal Logic, to talk about security and disaster recovery. Hi, Kevin, and thanks for being here with me today.
Hey, Megan, thanks for having me on.
So, Kevin, what are some of the biggest security concerns that pop up in the IT industry that storage managers should be aware of?
Well, the biggest security issues are the ones that you don't know about. And the reality is many businesses don't truly know where they stand. The firewall is in place. Systems are being patched. Backups are being made. And, you know, user accounts have strong passwords. All the basics are covered. And that's all that many managers assume is enough. But you never really know until you take a look from the perspective of a malicious external attacker or a rogue insider. And I know there are a lot of studies and things going on out on the web right now saying that, this new year is going to be the year of malware, all of these command and control bots and things like that. And I, the reality is that is a big threat, but it's probably not as big of a threat as some of the other basic stuff that's being overlooked. And the things that stand out the most to me are web application vulnerabilities, namely in and around the storage environment. A lot of storage management, data backup, and DR management systems, they have a web interface, and quite often these web systems are full of vulnerabilities. Granted, they may be on the inside of the network, but you have a board or malicious or technical person, whatever, on the inside, and things can go wrong. You know, anything from default passwords to flaws that allow you to bypass the login mechanism to a web vulnerability called SQL injection. They're often exploitable in many different ways that administrators aren't even thinking about. And really making things worse, sometimes these web interfaces are accessible to the outside world. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it always pays to know where you stand. The vulnerabilities are there. Web vulnerabilities probably stand out the most to me, but you never really know until you look at your systems.
So what kind of steps should you take to best protect yourself against these vulnerabilities?
Well, the solution is relatively simple. You know what you've got, understand how it's at risk, and then do something about it. And by that I mean put the right technologies and business processes in place to keep the risks to a minimum. The problem is that many people don't want to take these steps, or they get their priorities mixed up and take these steps out of order. For instance, you'll see people, you know, documenting their security policies and DR plans, or you'll see people, you know, implementing all the supposedly proper technologies to keep these risks at bay, but they've never really taken a step back and looked at the real issues, looked at the big picture to see, you know, what's really going on here, what are our critical systems, what are the risks that we're actually being exposed to, and this is creating a situation where they're focusing on the wrong stuff or they're improperly managing the issues that they do acknowledge.
Okay. So where does security fit into a disaster recovery plan?
Well, information security has a direct tie-in to incident response. And, you know, incident response is basically the steps that you take to properly respond to data breaches, malware outbreaks, and so on. Incident response, in turn, has a direct tie-in to business continuity and ultimately disaster recovery. The reality is if your information systems are taken down for whatever reason, you know, flood, fire, hack attack, or malware, you still have a business continuity or disaster recovery issue on your hands. You can look at it that way, and I think that's a legitimate approach. So basically I tell my clients to be sure and include these components, these information security components, especially security incident response, when building out your contingency plans and your technologies, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what steps you're going to have to take to actually recover your environment. Because again, if your systems go down, if they become unavailable, it still creates a quote unquote business continuity situation or a disaster.
Okay. So what kind of technologies are best suited for disaster recovery security?
Well, this is going to vary from business to business, and you know, depending on your network layout, your applications, your information systems complexity. Information systems complexity. Everyone's environment is becoming more and more complex. You know, that there are technologies out there to help us simplify things, virtualization, things like that, to where we can streamline. But still, by and large, as we grow, as new technologies emerge, our systems are becoming more complex, and complexity is the enemy of security. So, you know, for some people, it may be technologies like basic data backups, and others, it's going to be some fancy continuous data protection technologies. Maybe it's going to be a resilient network perimeter and server environment that has some nice failover or some sort of continuity built in. You may even rely on things like identity and access management technologies to manage users when something goes wrong, and even some of the cloud-based services out there for when your main systems are out of commission, you have something to fall back on, or at least you have some your data off-site. Again, this is based on need and risk, so you have to step back and decide what's best for the business, and that's going to involve, you know, getting the right people in on the discussion and looking at your environment and seeing what the real risks are.
Right. So what can you do to test to see if your environment is secure?
Well, many businesses have IT or security staff to handle this, especially larger enterprises. They'll have dedicated security administrators or internal auditors even are doing this type of work, and that's fine. You just have to be careful not knowing what's really going on when the quote-unquote fox is guarding the hen house. I've seen many situations where I've been called in to do an internal security assessment. Supposedly the environment is secure, but they had to do a security assessment or a security audit for whatever reason, and dig up issues that are big problems where the administrators were just being lazy. They were overlooking things. There were things that perhaps they knew about them and they weren't doing anything about it because it was just going to take too much effort. There are all sorts of issues associated with it, so it's often beneficial, and sometimes it's required for certain contracts or even compliance to have an independent third party look at your systems. And I think that can be good. You know, obviously I'm biased being a consultant, but I like to think that, you know, if you bring someone in from the outside, they can get a fresh perspective. They're not caught up in the bureaucracy. They have nothing to gain politically. That they can just look, they can get in, get out, show you what's going on and not have any conflict of interest. And there's really a whole methodology to finding vulnerabilities in your environment, the ethical hacking methodology. I wrote a book about it called Hacking for Dummies. The most important thing in testing your systems is to use a malicious mindset, you know, sort of go about it from the bad guy's perspective. Use good tools, good vulnerability scanning tools, with a caveat that they are not going to be all that you need. You're going to have to poke and prod your systems manually to be able to find the issues that really matter beyond what the scanners find. And then you got to make sure you look in all the important areas. You know, a lot of people just look at the perimeter, or just look at their highly visible systems. Meanwhile, they've got some of these other systems, these back doors, where they're literally bleeding and they're wide open for attack. So you got to look at the areas that matter, the critical systems, and sometimes the non-critical systems. This may be storage. This may be your DR environment, and it could be a lot of other stuff.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for all those answers.
You're welcome.
And for more information on security and disaster recovery, you can visit searchdisasterrecovery.com.